border authorities in Arizona. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman speaks with Roxane Gay, a powerful new literary voice whose short stories and essays have already earned her an enthusiastic audience. An Untamed State is her debut novel about a woman kidnapped for ransom. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, the guests are Seattle's Julia Gerferrer and Portland's Ellery Harvey, collaborators in bringing the art of comics off the page and into the performance space. That's all coming up, but first, stick around for Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary, next on KBOO.
This month, June 12th at 7 p.m., KBOO at the Clinton presents Satyricon, Madness and Glory, Mike Laster's documentary about the world-famous punk club Satyricon that opened in 1983, featuring interviews and footage from the Old Town establishment. Immediately following the film, 20-Foot Man, Portland's own very large musical steel puppet, a mainstay of public art, will perform myth formations emanating from written and unwritten musical concepts, arranged for your listening and viewing pleasure. Again, June 12th, the documentary film Madness and Glory, followed by a live performance from 20-Foot Man at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton. More information about KBOO at the Clinton this month and every second Thursday can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is June 12th, 2014, Thursday, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have a few headlines, and best of all, we have Dave Rovix, the troubadour of the resistance. He is here in Portland right now. He'll be playing on Saturday evening. PSU is part of the Free 'Em All concert and event. This is designed to draw attention to America's political prisoners. America has an astonishing number of people behind bars, most of them ethnically disenfranchised. It's basically everyone behind bars right now is a political prisoner. If you're in prison in America, you are a prisoner of war. You are a casualty in America's great war on poverty. One thing to do if you have a so-called great recession, if you have tanked your own economy through sheer greed, is and you don't like the idea of the rest of the world pointing fingers at you and saying, look at the poverty in America, what you do is you take the people who are poor and decide that they're criminals and put them behind bars. And then you say, well, we just have this vast criminal underclass undermining American values. That is what this sudden resurgence of the Tea Party is all about. We notice the demise of Cantor and the scrum that's taking place within the Republican Party, looking for someone who will espouse Tea Party values loudly and stridently, while at the same time not doing anything that will totally tank all of the markets, because of course it's all about the money, isn't it? Right? Isn't it? It's all about the money. That's why people are behind bars. Also, in the news farther afield, but believe me, it touches all of us in many ways, which we're probably unaware of, is the turn of events in Iraq, which anybody, any idiot could have seen coming, just as we could have seen coming the so-called Great Recession, which left the pundits scratching their heads and saying, what happened here? Well, we all know exactly what happened, and it's the same thing going on with Iraq. Anybody had trouble themselves to learn a little bit about the situation before wading in, guns a-blazing, we would have avoided all of this. But in the end, did we really want to avoid it? Or is this not part of the long-term plan of those who really run the show? Not to sound like a conspiracy thing, we can actually name names in this case, had we the time. But we have very little time, as it goes. What we got to get through first, just a couple of headlines. It looks like KKR, the mega Manhattan-based private equity firm at which David Petraeus now works, aside from his three adjunct professorships at USC, City University of New York, Eric Honors College, and, of course, Harvard. Well, Petraeus is angling to invest in North Dakota's oil legacy fund. The fund is expected to be worth $5 billion by 2017. How convenient. You think maybe Petraeus might have some political yearning still left in his sodden flanks? When the state investment board can begin investing the fund's money that voters approved of them investing in via a 2010 constitutional amendment, Petraeus has been meeting with the state investment board, while in North Dakota, which was set up by the state treasurer, Kelly Schmidt. Kelly Schmidt flew in on a private jet from North Dakota, while on the trip, he was given legal clearance to set this entire scam up from the Assistant Attorney General, Jenlyn Murtha. This is one of the biggest behind-the-scenes deals ever to come down the pike. But yeah, of course. Disgraced former General Petraeus is involved in North Dakota's oil legacy fund. That's that Bakken oil, shale oil reserve that has decimated the northern border states of this country and continues to do so. After fracking and horizontal drilling took off in 2008, domestic prices of natural gas fell steeply. So, aroused by the allure of new markets, U.S. gas producers are increasingly looking to take their goods abroad, probably most notably Asia, where LNG, liquefied natural gas, fetches about triple its price here. In 2011, Dominion Energy started making moves to convert Cove Point into its seldom-used LNG import facility in Maryland. In the 1970s, a service gas from it was built originally to service gas from Algeria. Unlike, for example, TransCanada's Keystone XL pipeline, though, which, of course, still waiting State Department approval and will surely get said approval after the elections, Maryland's Cove Point is breezing through the federal regulatory process for LNG export terminals. The Department of Energy has already granted conditional approval, the first big step in the permitting process. That was not much of a breeze. That was kind of a long, slow stagger through a few of the most important headlines here. One more thing. The Oregon Court of Appeals has ruled that a local judge should not have dismissed the lawsuit filed by two Eugene teenagers who allege that the state is violating the public trust by failing to take adequate steps to stave off climate change. Yes, these two have challenged Lane County Circuit Judge Kirsten Rasmussen's ruling back in 2012, just last year, that courts lack authority to order state officials to create and carry out a plan to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. Go, you two girls. I haven't got your names right in front of me, but we support you and we stand up in solidarity with you. And getting closer to home, still in Troutdale, Jared Michael Padgett was a straight arrow kid. Unfortunately, he was also a potential mass murderer. He only took out one and injured a teacher, but he was fascinated with guns. Get this, he planned a career in the military, and he was a devoted Mormon. I'm not going to even begin to address that mix of influences. We're going to speak now with Dave Robics, because on Saturday Portland gathers to make some music, hear some songs, and stand up in solidarity with political prisoners across the nation. Good morning, David. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning, Chris. Good
I'm going to just want to turn it over to you. We do always have headlines, and this business in Iraq, the business with the Petraeus and the Bakken oil reserves, all of it, it's all of a piece in it, right?
Oh, it's all intimately related, absolutely.
But political prisoners in this country, there are more and more of them. That's why they built the CMUs, communication management units, was to silence people who speak out. How many right now do you figure are behind bars specifically for their political views?
I think that's really impossible to estimate, because basically the war on drugs is largely a war on the black community, and the war on the black community is political. So, it's just impossible to estimate these things. I mean, in some cases, it's very clear, like people who, like Marie Mason or, you know, various others who have done explicitly political things, like, destroying the Monsanto genetically modified research facility. But, you know, of course, when things like with what happened with Mumia Abu-Jamal, with the police beating his brother to death and then Mumia intervening and being accused of shooting a cop. I mean, whoever shot the cop, that was a political act, you know, and he's clearly a political prisoner, also because he was a political activist for decades before going to prison. But, it's all, these places like where they're holding, I mean, of course, Mumia finally has gotten off of death row and is in general population. But then there's people like my good friend Marie Mason, who, along with many others, are being held in this communications management unit, which is essentially really a gulag along the Soviet lines, because in the sense that they are kept with the sort of completely insane population who are screaming and going nuts because of so many years of confinement or whatever other reasons. You know, you got the her cell block is like half totally insane people and half totally political people like her and Afia Siddiqui and others, Annabelle and Montes, and you know, people who are spies for Cuba, all sorts of folks, you know, and they're being held in this gulag with the nut cases.
And again, that's certainly Noon Stewart was in one of these places, as were Susan Lindauer, who they tried to drug with all kinds of very powerful sedative type drugs to keep her quiet and to invalidate her eventual testimony on her own behalf. These things go on too. The one that where Susan Lindauer was held was a women's prison. It was also a medical facility, and it was on a military base in Texas. That's terrifying. A military base. Medical facility. Yeah. God knows what goes on in these places. Political prisoners, though, being in a special category, I do believe, though, that there are many who are, I think that people are in general in prison are political prisoners, but what influence has this had any influence? It seems to me that in some ways it has emboldened people to speak out. It's infuriated so many people that it seems to be having, in some small degree, perhaps having the opposite effect of intimidating those who would criticize the terrible crimes this government is committing in our name.
Yeah, I don't know. It's always... I'm not sure how to measure that, how much it's terrifying people and how much it's emboldening people. I think, you know, these kind of draconian measures will tend to have both effects. I don't know.
They haven't shut you up. They haven't shut you up.
No, but of course nobody's threatening me with prison for singing so far. But, maybe that'll change. It's certainly... certainly they have jailed lots of musicians in the past, but that's I think that they're a little more intelligent about their strategies for criminalizing certain populations these days in the U.S. You know, they're not going after artists and writers and stuff like that. They kind of had a bad experience with that in the 50s.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? I want to ask you a little bit more about the event that's happening on Saturday, because it's important, it's fun, and it's proactive. And also, it coincides with the Never Alone Eco-Prisoner Support exhibition. Marie Mason is an artist, and she is part of this. It's a second annual Never Alone online, people! Art auction was launched yesterday. What's going on, though, here in Portland on Saturday night?
It'll be me and Mick Crenshaw and a band who sounds really good. I can't remember their name, but we're all playing at 7 o'clock at PSU at the what is that building? The Memorial Building there. You know,
I right think there. It's Smith.
Smith, yeah, that's it. Smith Memorial Building. Yeah, 7 o'clock benefit for Oregon Jericho, which is a group that that helps that does solidarity work with political prisoners, and that'll be a good show.
So, yeah, and just before we let you go, we're way over time. Why is it so important, so critical right now to stand in solidarity with America's political prisoners? Just very briefly.
Well, they're some of the best people in the country, and they're in prison, and they shouldn't be in prison. You know, we need Mumia in the White House, not in prison.
Yeah, and they are all of us. They do indeed speak for us all. This is, thanks so much. We've been so fortunate. We've had Dave Rovics on the air. We're going to go out with one of the songs off of Meanwhile in Afghanistan, one of the recent CDs. This has been Air Cascadia for June 12th, 2014. Rhett Bergeron, engineer of the show today. Thanks for that, Rhett. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
So hot.
See you Saturday night.
Houses out of cob, they hang out in the park where you needn't worry about walking after dark. There are lots of homeless people, but they don't hurt no one. Just be careful of the boys in blue playing with their guns. Yeah, watch out for the cops.